is Colin. I live here in New Mexico. I live in Rio Rancho with my brother and sister. I had another brother, but he died in 07. And that's what really got me into sports. When I lost something, I wanted to create a new thing. So that's what I started to do. Gavin, I miss you, and I just want to get happy again.
Really strong, strong guy. He's going to be a great young man. Learned a lot from him while we were here at Native Vision, and it's going to make us proud, bud. You're a good guy, right? Strong, very strong guy right here.
That was former UVA lacrosse star Zach Hefner mentoring an underprivileged Native American boy in a clip that kind of typifies the life skills coaching that happens at the Native Vision sports camps. I'm Bob Carpenter, founder of Inside Lacrosse Magazine, and this is a short and pretty unique edition of the Inside Lacrosse podcast. 20 years ago, Nick Lowry of the NFL teamed up with the Johns Hopkins Center for American Indian Health and the NFL Players Association, and they had the simple goal to serve the most overlooked and underprivileged kids in America. The issues that face Native Americans right now, they go beyond what is so prominent in the news today with Standing Rock and the Dakota Access Pipeline. There's depression, substance abuse, suicide, substandard housing, substandard education and health care. Native American kids on reservations today are worse off than any racial or ethnic group in the country. You know, as lacrosse players, I think it's important to be reminded of this as much as possible. This month, the Tuaratan Foundation and Johns Hopkins, the Johns Hopkins Center for American Indian Health, began a fundraising campaign to send 1,000 kids to Native Vision camps. Their spokesperson is Martin Sheen. I had the chance to catch up with him and talk about Native Vision. He addresses the conditions these kids face today. And, you know, if you're a fan of The West Wing, when he starts talking about the values of helping these kids out and the way it can impact your life as well, I kind of felt like I was talking to Jed Bartlett there for a while. So this is a pretty special conversation for lacrosse players. And again, with the goal of driving home to people who love the sport, you know, the culture that the sport came from. Lots of ways to get involved, but most directly and most currently, if you go to CrowdRise and click in Send the Kids to Camp, that's the name of the page that's making this push to get these 1,000 kids out in 2017. This is not the typical lacrosse interview, you know, talking to you and also talking about this subject matter. I was watching one of your videos and you say you've always been an actor and you've always been an activist. When you look at a charity that you're going to get involved with, what are the criteria that group has to meet?
I don't really think in terms of me being able to give them anything. I think it's mutual. I received far more from Native Vision than I was able to give, and I'm still getting it from the time I spent there. You know, I would suggest that all of us make contact with Native American tribes wherever it's possible, to just touch these cultures, and particularly with the young people, which is really what Native Vision is all about, because you get a total different sense of the country and the needs. It really awakens a sense of how little we are giving to those communities. The need is so great, and the attention is so little. So an organization like Native Vision, the best thing they can offer is an invitation to visit these communities, particularly in the Southwest, because it's so enriching and it's really life-changing. I look forward to going out there again.
You said something to the effect of, you know, the giants in sports combining with giants in healthcare to light the dimmest corners of America. The conditions that you're talking about, they really are some of the dimmest corners of America. Yet they also, when you see these kids and interact with these kids, it's also some of the brightest points of beauty. Can you just talk about an interaction that stood out above the rest?
Well, there's so many of them, and you know, there are a few of them that I still correspond with. We're pen pals, a few of the kids. The first thing I noticed, particularly with the boys, the young teenagers was how shy they were. The girls seemed to be more outgoing, more gregarious, more confident, really. The boys seemed to be, shy is the clearest word, I guess. They don't always speak up in the group. There is this sense of honor and a sense of pride, but there's also it's very difficult for them to communicate outside of their group. And so I think more than ever, we've got to reach out to them and encourage them to reach out to us. They are so marginalized. They are so poor. They are so unattached to the so-called American dream. They are so kind of forgotten, and so they don't realize how truly magnificent they are. They live very, very difficult lives, and they don't complain about it.
Well, there's also an awareness. They're at this camp, and they're saying into the camera, "I need to be here. This is what happened. Yeah. This is what happened to my friends. If I don't straighten things out, I'm going to be in real trouble in life." And it's heartbreaking to think that that weight is sitting on the shoulders of a boy that young.
Very much so. You know, every university in the United States should go out of its way to ensure that every Native American child, male and female, is guaranteed an education. How many Native Americans do you see in the major universities? Do you know what I mean?
If
there was an ombudsman for education, specifically in the realm of education, that would go into these reservations and offer, just a carte blanche opportunity to go to a major university. The Big Ten schools could absorb, a dozen or so kids from each tribe every year and not feel a pinch. Can you imagine the University of Notre Dame going over there and seeing kids and offering, they're big at lacrosse at University of Notre Dame, all the Big Ten schools, but they should also be looking for scholars. They should be looking for potential med students and nurses and scientists. We have to recognize the richness of those cultures. You know, so often Americans will go overseas to serve in the Peace Corps or in World Vision or any one of the international charities that serve in the third world. How many of them would go to a reservation if they knew that possibility was equally as rewarding? Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. If
you've got to become heroic, in a sense, to want to do that. You have to become able to be, to welcome discomfort.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is this: one individual can make such an extraordinary change, but you have to be prepared not to make any change at all. In fact, probably the biggest change that's going to occur is on you if you go in there. And you have to be willing to become uncomfortable. And not many of us are willing to do that. We live in such comfort, and we're so used to it, you know. So it's going to cost you something to tap into that extraordinary culture that is right here and has always been here and is suffering in silence right under our noses. So Native Vision has had a very profound effect on me, and I'm grateful to them, and I look forward to some more personal involvement, and hopefully next year I'll be going out to Shiprock again.
And you don't need to know a skill. Native Vision, it's not just taking kids out to sports camps. You're also teaching them life skills.
But athletics is kind of the door, because we can all identify with a physical skill. But what I found was rewarding, and just getting involved in their interest in the theater or the visual arts or TV. That's where I fit in, and that's where I had the most fun was becoming a part of their acting company, so to speak, you know, and how they welcomed me in there, and they wrote a script, and we played it out, and it was such great fun.
Oh, this is great. I appreciate it. This is really good stuff.
You know, if you focus on just one kid, and you know, and if they allow you, you know, to film an intimate portrait, if you could get in to one child's life long enough, then you will see the whole community eventually.
Well, I don't know who caught it, but the piece of video that got me was the little boy getting choked up. He lost his brother. His brother died, and he went to Native Vision, and he was talking. You know, he had a black shirt. He was standing in the lacrosse goal. That was like punched me in the nose. So that was where I was like, man, we should get whatever they're comfortable with. We should get more cameras and tell more of these stories.
Yeah, and you know, it would be a good idea to give them a camera, you know, and let them begin to film their lives and their friends and their family and their communities. They do that a lot in the third world, you know. They supply cameras, and it leads to a lot of innovative work. And once you get a computer and you learn the internet, then you're connected to the whole world. But you know, I've only seen the game on TV. I saw them on the field scrimmaging a little bit when I was out there, but I don't have any understanding of the game. In fact, I was only watching it because I didn't realize Notre Dame had a team.
They have a great team.
They did, yeah. They were ranked number one.
Who knows? We'll get you out to a game someday.
Okay. Yeah, I remember when Notre Dame started, lacrosse was like the going to be their big sport. And then Father, the guy who founded the place, said, I don't know if it's a good idea for these wild Irish kids to be running around with sticks in their hands.
Yeah. They don't need another object to knock everybody on the head with.
They weren't called the Fighting Irish for nothing, you know.
Well, okay, this has been a real pleasure, and I can't thank you enough for your time.
Thank you.
All right.
All the best.
All right, take care.